What it do, y'all? It's your girl, Tina, with an H, back with another episode of In Your 20s. And today's guest, guys, let me tell you about today's guest. So we didn't go to elementary school, middle school, high school. We didn't even go to college together. But what we did do was go to the same Sweet 16 way back when, and now we work together. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Kate Kenny. Hi, Kate.
Hey, Tina.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me, even though I asked to be here.
Hey, I am telling everyone, I'm like, if y'all want to be on In Your 20s, you need to let me know. That's the only way this is going to work, because this is the friend and fun season
of the show. I'm trying to do new things, so why not hop on a podcast, talk with Tina.
See how you feel.
Yeah, and just gab.
We have to talk about the story that I just intro'd you with, because the world is way too small.
No, it's crazy. I was telling this story to my boyfriend today, and he was like, that's actually kind of crazy that you guys, now we sit literally right next to each other at the office, and we're on the exact same team. We work together every single day.
And we grew up maybe, what, 20, 30 minutes away from each other?
And we went to the same Sweet 16 that one time.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I meant a One Direction concert. Hold on.
Oh, my.
Let me redo that.
Yeah. Okay.
But we also went to the same One Direction concert. Like, which was a big deal. Our first One Direction concert, we were both there at the same time, which I'm repping very proudly.
That was my first concert ever.
Really?
Yeah, 2012, Up All Night Tour.
May 28th.
May 28th.
BB&T Pavilion.
Yep, where you could see the Philadelphia skyline, but you were in New Jersey.
It was actually like a crazy concert. I remember that. It was so much fun.
I was in section 100 and something. So, guys, for those who have never been to BB&T, it's now called like what? It used to be called Susquehanna.
Oh, it's BB&T now, right?
It's still, yeah, it's BB&T now. Yeah. It used to be called Susquehanna. It's one of those outdoor type theaters. So, like the 100 section, and I think 200 is underneath the amphitheater or like underneath the roof of it. And then the lawn section.
Yeah.
So I was in like the hundreds off to the side. I could have sworn Harry Styles himself was checking me out when I was a little speck with my orange cheetah print tank top that I still remember.
No, because I was in the 200s and I remember being like, Liam just waved at me, right at me and my bestie. And I remember my first concert ever was actually at BB&T. It was the Jonas Brothers in 2008. And I was in the very, very, very last row, like right before it starts being like the lawn and everything, like the last row you can possibly be in. That's where I was sitting for the Jonas Brothers.
Everyone has to remember their first concert experience, because it's just such a, it's a defining moment in every person's life.
You don't know how concerts like feel and the experience of them until you go to your first one. And then you're like, oh, my God. This is crazy. But they're right there.
But also, that's the reason why I get so confused when people say they don't like concerts.
Yeah.
Because are you all right?
I feel like it has to do with, like, the crowd, maybe. Like, for example, I know some people, like, they don't like being in, like, a GA pit, like, at a festival or at, like, you know, a barricade at a concert. But I'll stand there for hours to see one of my favorite artists.
Still?
Yeah.
What?
I did that in November for the 1975. Me and my friend waited outside in the L.A. cold in November. It was actually really cold for L.A. For like 8 hours. And we were barricaded and it was worth it.
Kate.
Yeah.
I'm shooketh. Because nowadays, I would always, always, I would love to do GA. Do you remember the Digi Tour?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
The deep cuts have started, guys.
Oh, my God.
The Digi Tour, when it was a bunch of different YouTubers, like the O2L group, before the Hype House, there was O2L.
Yeah, like MagCon. Like, they were the initial, like, content houses.
Andrea Russett was also there.
Oh, my gosh. Gen X Pen.
Yep.
Right?
Joey Graceffa. Yeah. Like that
Ricky
group.
Dylan. Yeah. Oh, my God.
So I was there, and me and my friends, we didn't have tickets, but because there's this venue in Philly, it used to be called the Electric Factory.
Oh, I remember that.
It's branded something else now, but at the Electric Factory, what we would do is we would just wait outside.
I know exactly where you would wait, too, yeah.
Yep, and just wait to see who's going to come around, and I remember, what was there a guy named Sawyer? Sawyer Hartman, was that his name?
Yes, and I just saw him on my TikTok feed this morning, so that is so crazy. It was like a throwback clip with him and Tyler Oakley.
Really?
And everyone was commenting, they're like, oh my God, I forgot Sawyer Hartman like existed.
Well, yeah. I had a blunder because I had him sign my shoe for me, and I go, oh my gosh,
girl. Wait, your shoe?
My shoe, because I didn't have anything for him to sign, and I never watched, like, his videos.
Yeah.
But, you know, when all these YouTubers are coming by, you're having people sign, take pictures, do whatever. I scream right after he signs it, oh my gosh, I can't believe Joey Graceffa signed my shoe.
Oh my goodness.
It was not, in fact, Joey Graceffa.
No, that was Joey Graceffa's, like, Walmart version.
Yeah. I'm so sorry, Sawyer, to this day. Like, you are great.
All those boys did look eerily similar.
It was a little bit of a copy-paste.
They all had the same haircut. They all dressed the same. They all wore, like, the same, like, snapbacks and stuff. So,
and back, back then, I was like, let's do this. Who else did I wait for? I think for Cher Lloyd, I had waited.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, one time I waited out in the cold. I didn't even have tickets, but for Five Sauce.
Yes.
I waited out in the cold. All of my friends got a picture with Ashton. And Ashton Irwin is still my favorite member of 5 Seconds of Summer.
Yep. I was a Luke girl, but Ashton was a close second.
I feel like we would always, like, switch off. Yeah. Ashton girls and Luke girls.
Well, the thing about 5 Seconds of Summer was that they went through so many phases, like, of their style and stuff. So you could change what kind of girl you were just, like, by the month.
And they're also in a completely different era now.
Oh, they're so different now. Like, Luke does solo.
And
solo
Ashton
music.
Is coming out with a solo.
He sang. I thought he just played the drums.
Girly pop. I don't think none of us knew he sang. This is about to be interesting. But, guys, before we start getting it, well, we already started getting into how concerts and music have shaped our lives and how it relates into our careers. But before we get more sidetracked, Kate, this is something I ask all of my guests. How old are you? And what's a random fact you've learned in your 20s?
Okay, I'm 25 and 11 twelfths because I turned 26 in less than 1 month. So this is the last of 25-year-old Kate speaking.
And once this episode is, I'm pretty sure this episode is coming out right around your birthday.
Oh my gosh, it'll be my birthday episode. That's so exciting.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Yay, 26. Woo. So maybe we'll pretend I'm 26. But a fun fact about me is that I am an ordained minister by the Universal Life Church. So in the state of New Jersey and in New York, I can marry people.
What does it take to be an ordained minister?
Literally nothing. You can go online and get it so fast. You know how people joke about that? They're like, oh, I got certified online. I got ordained online. It's so easy. I did it in college just as a joke. And, like, my dream was to marry someone.
Okay.
Like, I've always wanted to marry people. And I was this close to marrying, like, a really drunk couple in a bar one time when I was studying abroad. But it didn't happen. And also, I don't think I had jurisdiction in Australia to marry people.
Oh.
But, like, you'll still have to go get, like, a marriage license and everything.
Yeah.
But I can, like, literally do the ceremony.
How did they ask for any identification? Did they say this is the speech that you have to say every time? What were the requirements?
So it was very simple.
There was
definitely not a test. I only literally remember that I'm ordained because every year around the same time I get an email from them and they're like, congratulations on your anniversary. And they send you an updated certificate. Because you need a new certificate every year, technically.
Okay.
But no, you just go online. The Universal Life Church, I don't know what they stand for. If they're problematic, then I'm not a minister at all. But I'm pretty sure they're just like a random church that people like can just, you know, it's like a community built church. So people can just marry each other and stuff.
I am looking at Kate with stars in my eyes.
Fun fact.
I did say that is a fun fact. And I've known Kate for almost, 3 years now?
Yeah. But I've never married anyone. So that's why it never comes up.
But you can marry someone.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters because we are, I hate to say this, we are getting to the age where people are about to, you know, they're popping out rings.
I know. And it would be so cool to marry, like, one of your friends or something to be part of their wedding and, like, be in the ceremony and everything. That would be really cool. I would love to do that.
Because they'll remember it for forever.
Yeah. And I get to, like, you know, it's personal. Like, I get to, like, do what they want and stuff instead of, like, hiring a stranger who just will, like, read what's in the book. Like, I can, you know.
Right. It's
personalize it.
Yeah, it's more meaningful that way.
I say this as I have no friends that are even engaged, but.
I have two, but both of their weddings are not for at least another year. No, and I have a third, but that wedding's this year. You know what? We're not even going to talk about it because that means I have to think about my love life and I don't want to do that today.
No, that's not what this episode is about.
Oh, no, no. It's about the internet
and how
we created, honestly, we created our careers by being on the internet from such a young age. And I think it all starts with Tumblr.
It does.
Kate, please tell us your relationship with Tumblr.
Okay, so I joined Tumblr when I was in eighth grade. It was 2011, which was like, people say prime Tumblr time was like 2014, but it was actually before that when it was a little bit more underground and stuff.
Yeah.
So I joined to blog about One Direction because initially I made a fan Twitter and I was trying to get into fan Twitter and, you know, stan Twitter and everything. And people were talking about the difference between Twitter fans and Tumblr fans and how Tumblr fans were much cooler and they were kind of like, you know, Twitter fans were kind of fake and like performative, but the Tumblr,
they were just trying to get the followers.
Yeah, and they were trying to get, yeah, they were just tweeting at the boys all the time and stuff, and the Tumblr fans were real fans. So I made a Tumblr, and I don't know how. I think it was just good timing and like just the era of it all. If you were on Tumblr during the One Direction time, then you know it was a really good time to be alive. It was so fun. I just blogged my little heart out about 1D. I wasn't like writing fan fiction and I wasn't, you know, making edits or anything like that. I was just literally blogging, like being funny and just like posting about my life and things. And I ended up literally garnering like 150,000 followers by the time I went to college. And then One Direction broke up and Tumblr, it all just kind of died like really fast. It was crazy.
Really?
Yeah. It was really crazy. So during high school, I kind of had like a little Hannah Montana secret life because I didn't tell anybody.
Not even your best friends.
No, they knew I had one, but no one knew my URL and no one, I didn't advertise it. Like I wouldn't link it on my personal like Instagram and stuff. So it was actually a really big fear of mine that someone would from school would find my blog and it wouldn't be like my safe space anymore. But it was cool because I wasn't a super popular kid in high school. Like I didn't have, I had friends, but I didn't have like a lot of friends, so it was cool to go home and then go on to, like, my masses on the internet and be like, hello, everyone! And everyone was excited to see me.
When you say blogging, you were actually writing out, like, some of these text posts.
Yeah.
Just, like, chatting more, you know what I mean? Like, talking to people through that.
Exactly, and just, like, answering people's questions and just, you know. What it was, like, it was, like, almost like being an influencer before, like, I even had brand deals.
You had brand deals?
I had a Shein brand deal in 2013.
A Shein? Wait. Guys, I am learning all of this about Kate, just as you are, too. Okay, first of all, 150,000. I knew you were Tumblr famous. I didn't know you were that Tumblr famous.
Well, I wasn't, like, because people were actually Tumblr famous. Like, people got famous from Tumblr, like Halsey and, like, Acacia Brinley. Like, I was famous, like...
Acacia Brinley.
Right? Yeah, very deep cut, especially for us 1D Tumblr girlies.
Oh, yeah, big time.
But I was just known, like, in the One Direction, like, realm.
But,
like,
Tumblr
I was one,
famous is
yeah,
Tumblr famous.
One of, like, the top 1D blogs.
And then how were, because I honestly didn't even realize that brand deals were a thing back then. I thought that was something that kind of happened towards Instagram. So when they reached out to you, did they send you, what was it, a private message?
Yeah, they sent me a Tumblr message. And it wasn't really like, it was kind of a brand deal. It was more like one of those affiliate codes where I would, they would send me, actually, it was kind of a brand deal. They would send me free clothes from Shein and I posted about them and I did like my little link. And then whoever used my link and used my code, I would get like the 10% off or whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't even know Shein existed way back then.
It was actually called something different. It was called like Shein Side. It was, this was, and then it rebranded into Shein. Same with Romwe. I got a Romwe sponsorship as well.
No way.
Yeah. They were not paying big bucks. I would make like $20 off a post.
Well, that's also around, it's the time when people didn't understand the impact of social media influencers.
Yeah.
Because you
were
an influencer.
Yeah. I feel like this was before like, you know, hashtag ad, hashtag sponsored posts. Like, I remember I was just posting, like, oh, I got these cute jean shorts, like, and this is where you can get them, hoping people would buy them so I could, you know, have some money in my pocket as a 16-year-old.
You could run rogue on Tumblr.
Oh, yeah.
And you were always a 1D account. You were never anything else, or did you
try to
make someone? So
I became, like, multi-fandom for a bit. I was only really successful in the 1D realm, but I did switch for a bit and I was a Teen Wolf blog, which is really funny considering where we work now.
Yeah, we are at Teen Wolf Central.
Yeah, we're at Teen Wolf headquarters. We're in the Wolf Den. But yeah, I would blog. I had like a little hashtag and it was Caitlin Live Blogs Teen Wolf. And every Monday, I would, like, live vlog the episode with, like, fans and stuff. And we'd, like, react together and, like...
You were live tweeting, but the Tumblr version.
Yes. Literally, I was live tweeting. And, like, it was fun. And people would, like, you know... Sometimes I'd have to be like, guys, I can't watch tonight's episode. You know, I'm busy. Things like that. It was so fun. It was just such a community.
It also makes sense because of what you were saying, Tumblr was your safe space. Mm-hmm. Because when I had made my fan account on Twitter, because Tumblr for me was just where I went to go and, like, repost cute photos and trying to figure out what my aesthetic was.
Absolutely.
I wasn't really in the stan side of Tumblr. But for Twitter, that was me. And I would always, I'm not going to lie, I wasn't that great. My tweets would never go viral. I think I had a couple that went maybe, like, 200 likes or something. But
that's
I was
pretty good.
Well, I was one of those girlies who would follow a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. And then once they followed back, I'd go, do-do-do-do-do, follow spree.
Oh, yeah.
So that's how I ended up getting a lot of followers. And I think there was a time where I had, like, 23,000, right?
That's a lot.
But I was following, like, 10,000, you know? So
I mean, that's how we did it, you know? We were just, it was chaotic. It's not how it was today. There was no such thing as, like, ratios, like, follower to following ratios. It was just a free-for-all.
You were just trying to, like, figure out who your friends are, and then you'd have your Twitter groups or something. I had even remembered one time someone had reached out to me being like, oh, I can make you even more Twitter famous if you give me, like, these details. So I gave them my details. I ended up getting hacked.
I was about to say, what details? Like, your password?
I'm a dodo brain. I think they sent me a link, and I clicked on it. And next thing you know, they had control of my account, and it took about a week for Twitter to give it back to me. I finally got it back. But because it was one of those accounts where you know how there's always those same, like, six Twitter accounts that all tweet the exact same thing? And
oh,
they
yeah.
love to steal tweets.
Oh, yeah. It was, like, Dory and, like, Common White Girl.
Yeah. Yep.
They would steal my Tumblr posts.
Really?
Yeah. I had a few, like, viral, like, pretty viral Tumblr posts. Yeah. And I could copy and paste them exactly and put them into Twitter. And I would see all of them tweeting it, like, the Dory accounts, the basic white girl accounts. And I was like, hey. Yeah.
Those are the least creative accounts out there.
And I have beef with Brent Rivera for that reason, too. Remember Brent Rivera?
What you got to do with Brent Rivera?
He would steal my Tumblr posts and make them into vines. We're dating ourselves with this, but there were a few that he literally, like, almost word for word took, like, the premise of one of my text posts and turned it into a vine. And I knew that because he followed me on Tumblr, and so did Lohanthony.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy?
Brent Rivera, who he still has a following today.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing.
Girl, you made him.
Right?
Without you, he would not be where he is.
I always say that I chose the wrong platform to, like, dedicate my teenage years to, because if I chose YouTube or Instagram or something, I would have been an influencer by now. Because if I had that following on anywhere else, but Tumblr, it's so easy just to die out and, like, you know, it doesn't translate to the real world as much as, like, other social media platforms did. So it was kind of just like its own little world.
Yeah, because like you were saying earlier, it was underground. You know, that's where people could just go hang out. But you, girl, let's DM Brent Rivera right now. We need to get you your residuals.
No, I always, I've had beef with him. Yeah. One-sided beef.
No. Because I bet that if you popped into his DMs, he would recognize you and be like, oh, snap.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he'd be like, oh, shit, she's on to me.
I'm sending, like, cease and desist letters. Like, you owe me.
Did Lohanthony ever steal any of your stuff?
No. He just, it was so weird. So there was this thing called, like, a blog roll where you could publicly list everyone who was following you. And it was kind of like you do it, like, in a pretty way, and you could click on it, and then you would, like, people could see who was following you.
Mm-hmm.
And I would check my blog roll just randomly. And one time I checked it, and literally, like, the second name was Lohanthony. And it was because I had, like, a post that was going around, so I was gaining a lot of followers. And I just had momentarily just checked it and, like, clocked that. I feel like I would have missed it, because it's not like Instagram where you can, like, search into your followers and, like, see the verified ones and stuff. Like, it'll just get, like, lost in the sauce. But that was, like, a big moment for me. Because that was Lohanthony, like, Lohanthony's video of the week.
Lohanthony is internet royalty.
Yeah.
At least for us. Like, I think someone who is in their early 20s listening right now would probably ask, who is Lohanthony and what impact did he have?
But we know.
He was impact. I'm pretty sure. I can't even remember any of his videos right now, but that name speaks to me.
Yeah. No, it's like, it was like a household name almost.
Yeah. The same way Nash Greer is a household name.
Maybe it's because he was, like, kind of one of the first, like, internet celebrities.
Yeah.
Dare I say?
He was. Andrea Russett.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Remember there was, like, the Fab Five? It was like Lohanthony, Gen X Pen, Rebecca Black, Andrew Lau, and I can't think of the last person.
I can't think of it. Who was it? Oh.
Oh, my God. It's, like, on the tip of my tongue. His name was Jack. That's So Jack.
That's So Jack.
And they all played into, like, the parts of, like, One Direction and, like, the culture of it all because they were all One Direction fans, too.
Yeah.
Like, That's So Jack was, like, Ricky Dillon was. Like, so it was just, like, so much fun.
And also, One Direction's impact, like, it oozed into other sides of the internet because you had those two, Jack and Finn.
Oh,
the
yeah.
British twins.
Oh, my gosh. Whoa.
And I was I honestly...
The British invasion.
Yes.
Of it was, like, all at once, like, music and culture was, like, coming from Britain to American teens via YouTube and music.
Yeah.
It was, like, Ed Sheeran, Little Mix, One Direction, Cher Lloyd, Ollie Murs,
Ollie.
Right? And then, like, Zoella and Alfie... Right? Deep cut. That's the most said phrase of this is going to be deep cut.
And then also you would have, we'd watch what, Chatty Man clips with Alex Carr.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Chatty Man.
Yes. Oh my God. And like, remember, and then there was like, we would listen to like BBC Radio.
Yeah.
To catch like, with like Nick Grimshaw and stuff. Yeah. Oh my God.
This is
literally opening like a portal in my brain. I'm being sucked back in time.
To be... on the internet, or also to just be a fangirl, I think during that time was so formative for so many of us.
It was insane.
I would spend my nights, and this was, we were in like high school.
Yeah.
Right? Just as this was happening. I think when we started to hear about One Direction.
In middle school.
Middle school, like 7th, 8th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then it really hit us freshman year of high
school. Oh, yeah. Because that's when Take Me Home came out. Their second album. So that's when it kind of like they were just famous from like What Makes You Beautiful and stuff. And then it was like, oh, they're here to stay.
These girls are obsessed.
Yup.
And everyone was trying to go to their shows. They went from, what was it? They did one show at that amphitheater we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And then they did.
Straight to Wells Fargo Center.
Yep. So that was not stadiums. It was
in an arena.
Yeah, your arena tour.
Yeah.
And then that was the, I think, one and only time
they only did it. Yeah, they only did it one time. And then they went straight to stadiums.
And to think about how fast. Because you have people like Taylor Swift and Beyonce who it took some time before they got to the stadiums.
Their third tour was in a stadium, yeah.
Across the United States of America.
No, it was crazy. Like, people now are kind of thinking about, like, Beyonce and Taylor and, like, you know, the craze of it all. But it was happening 12 years ago.
Way before. I feel like the only other guy who was able to kind of do that was...
Justin.
Yeah. Well, did Justin Bieber ever do stadiums?
I don't know. I feel like he could have. Maybe. I feel like he did for purpose, but then he canceled them all.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, I don't remember Justin Bieber ever being in like, Lincoln Financial Field.
Yeah. I only saw him at Jingle Ball. So that was in, like, an arena.
You know, I've still never seen Justin Bieber live.
I've only seen him that one time during Jingle Ball, and it was actually so good. Like, he is such a performer. I was there for One Direction because this was like, it was like the lineup of a lifetime. One Direction and Justin Bieber were going to be there, and Cher Lloyd and Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift.
Oh my gosh.
It was Jingle Ball, Z100's Jingle Ball 2012.
Okay.
Yeah, it was at Madison Square Garden.
I was about to say, because that ain't no Philly lineup.
Yeah, no, it was not. The Philly lineup was like half of the good ones, but okay. They were missing Taylor and One Direction and Justin Bieber. Because I remember I went to both that year because I wanted to see Cher Lloyd and Ed Sheeran. And but I remember One Direction opened and Justin Bieber closed. Like, could you imagine nowadays? Like, the girls would go insane.
I would cry.
Yeah.
I don't even think I'd be able to, like, sing because I'd be in such shock.
I remember I was hyperventilating when they came out on stage because that was the first time I had seen them, like, pretty close up because we were on the floor. And I think that's the one time that I fully had, like, fangirl hysteria. Like, I started hyperventilating, crying. My friend was almost like, oh, my God. Like, but it was because it was peak 1D. Like, oh, my gosh. I was a freshman.
You also have to imagine, guys, for those who might not have been a part of the fandom or of the hysteria, like, these men,
boys,
those boys, they ran our lives.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I would go home, I'd do my homework, and I'd immediately start reading a fan fiction on Wattpad, or I'd be watching their old performances, watching a thousand times,
over and over again.
Yeah. To know, oh, my gosh, Louis has a pigeon named Kevin. And I hate birds. And I was like, I love Kevin.
Literally. This is so embarrassing, but I didn't use a spoon for like 4 months when I first started becoming a One Direction fan, because everyone knows that Liam was afraid of spoons. And I specifically remember this. I was so young because I was eating lunch in my eighth grade cafeteria, and we were having like those little ice cream cups.
Yeah.
And I literally would eat them with a fork because I was like, I don't use a spoon. That's for like, you know, a non One Direction fan, a fake fan.
Do we think if we gave Liam Payne a spoon right now, he would still be scared of them?
No. But I think if we gave Louis Tomlinson a carrot, he would be terrified.
You?
It took a second, right?
It took me a second. At first, I'm like, what do you mean? But it's because we always try to talk to him about carrots, no?
Yeah. It was because in like one of his very first interviews, he was so young. It was from The X Factor. He said, I like girls who eat carrots. And he was trying to be silly, like fun, quirky.
Goofy.
And it haunted him forever.
Yeah.
People would throw carrots at him, bring him carrots at meet and greets, dress up like carrots to go to the concert. It even became a term where we would call fans that we didn't like carrots.
I forgot that we would call the newbies
right?
that.
Yeah, we'd be like, oh, they're such a carrot. They're still in their, like, carrot phase.
That's literally a slander word.
That's like a slur in community. Also, do you remember Directionators versus Directioners?
What was the Aiders?
So this was pretty early on also. I don't know. Maybe this wasn't happening on Twitter, but on Tumblr, there was, like, internal battles, like a civil war within the fandom. And it was Direction.
Not a Marvel movie.
It was Directioners, and those were like true fans, you know, and Directionators, and those were fake fans. So those were the girls that you went to school with that only knew one song and were like, I love Harry, and then got to go to the concert and you were like so jealous because you were like, you don't love them like I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a Directionator.
As soon as you explained that definition, I was like, oh, I know exactly.
Yeah.
I remember girls from my school
exactly
that were Directionators. Because once they started to be obsessed with them, I was like, no, they're mine.
No, right? No, it was like you hated other 1D fans almost, like in real life. But then online, you were like, this is my community. But it was almost like you were jealous.
So jealous. And you were like, oh, my gosh, because this person also likes whoever, they're gonna
oh, yeah.
My chances of being with them. It was possessing.
We needed to get real so bad. We needed to be so serious. Like, the way we thought we were going to, like, I remember I would put on my cutest outfit to go to the concerts, shave my legs, prepared for anything. Like,
One Direction is the reason why we're all DeLulu now. Like,
it created a whole generation of DeLulu women. But yeah. Honestly, good. We're reaching for things we deserve.
1,000% we are. And hey, look at where it took us. We went from blogging on Tumblr, tweeting on Twitter, to now we're working at
professionals.
A piece like MTV. Like, what? We're doing, like, social media for entertainment.
It's crazy. It's so crazy.
Like, that's why it's so, whenever someone hates on someone for being obsessed with something.
It's the worst.
Or saying, oh my gosh, you're so cringe. You're so corny for this. I'm like, call me that all of you want. I truly do not care.
Because I cash my check.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that direct deposit hitting for y'all? I didn't think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I didn't think so. My silly little hobby is now a full-time job, so.
And it worked out in our favor. When you ask other people on our team, it's honestly the same thing in
yeah.
different fonts.
No, I think that most, especially like in social media, like most fangirls like became some kind of professional, like in their field, whether it was like a director or a producer or something. Like we wanted it so bad that we said, this is going to be my life.
Yep. And do you remember how we would always get into fights with like management? Honestly, it was a one-sided fight.
Oh my God. That is so funny. That just sparked a memory. We hated them so bad.
We hated One Direction's management.
We thought
we also knew them.
We were not wrong to hate them. They were working those poor boys to the bone.
That's why we got 5 years and they said, we're done.
Said never again.
They said, this is traumatizing enough. Thank you.
I cannot imagine.
But we would know their exact marketing cycles.
Uh-huh.
We'd say, okay, this single's coming out at this time.
Yep.
That means we can guess about what time this is happening, when they're announcing this tour. 1D Day was the smartest thing to ever exist.
No, they had all of us sat for like 12 hours.
Yeah.
And like cable wishes. They could get people to tune in like the way we tune in and we're sat for 1D Day.
Remember when, I'm saying remember when because I don't even think this was really like our generation, but how they had the call-a-thons being like, oh, call to help donate money.
Oh, yeah.
To raise money for like.
Yeah, like the telethon things.
Yeah. that was 1D day, but like digitally. But the thing is, we couldn't call and like talk to Louis or Niall.
No.
It was fully just we were all sat watching a YouTube live stream.
Watching them like do the most random shit too.
It feels like such a fever dream.
I just remember there were those two girls like locked in the phone booth with Harry. And I remember seething with jealousy. Those girls, if you're out there, you're the luckiest girls ever.
How many people can say they were locked in a telephone booth with Harry Styles?
People can say they were part of 1D Day. I mean, I was as a, you know, an active watcher. But to be there, that was crazy.
I think this is an important topic that we have to discuss. And I'm kind of scared to ask this.
I feel like I know what you're going to ask.
Well, because I'm scared because I think it's going to elicit a lot of anger inside of me.
Are you going to ask about Zayn leaving?
No. Let's ask about that first.
Okay. Where were you when Zayn Malik left One Direction on March 25th, 2015? Where were you?
I was a sophomore. No. Yeah.
We were juniors.
We were juniors. High school. And I had walked into my PE teacher's room because some girl had to do like a catch up, like one of my friends. So I went to go visit her during lunch. And she goes, "Tina, have you seen the news?" And I go, "What?" And my PE teacher starts laughing. He's like, "Oh, here we go." And I go, "What's wrong?"
Not your gym teacher knowing before you did.
I know. And I go, she goes to me, "Tina, my friend, Zayn left One Direction." I go, "No." I immediately drop to my knees. And I'm like, "There's no way." I was so in shock. Couldn't cry or anything.
No, it was so shocking.
Where were you?
Okay, so it came out like around lunchtime because I remember it was like 6 o'clock, like London time or whenever they posted it. And I still remember they just did it in like that random Facebook post that was like, we're so grateful for all of the time we've spent as a band. But like Zayn has decided to leave. I remember I was in I didn't take a lunch that year. I would just go to the library with my friends and we would all like sit in the corner and gab.
Yeah.
And we'd always get in trouble for like talking too loud and stuff because we were like in the literal library. And I remember I was just, you know, on my phone and stuff, and I had a group chat full of like Tumblr friends that I still literally have to this day. Like, we literally still talk into it. It's so fun. But they sent it. They just sent like just the link to the thing. I clicked it, and it was like that crumbling feeling, like heart to my ass. Like, I remember being just speechless. Like, I couldn't cry. No. I didn't cry till later. Yeah.
But also because they had framed it where he was taking a quote unquote break.
Yeah.
And that he was coming back
eventually. I remember there was like a few shows leading up to it that Zayn didn't do, and I remember because one of my sister was at the show, the last show that right before he left, and Zayn was supposed to be there and he wasn't there. It was in Orlando. It was like in Disney World. I still remember, like, I can picture what they were wearing. But I remember her texting me being like, "Zayn isn't here, like they said he's sick, he's not coming," and then like 3 days later he left.
Yep. And that man lied to all of us. We thought that he was coming back, and nope.
No, he came out with a solo album a year to the date he left the band. He released Mind of Mine, right? Yeah, that's his first album, right?
Well, Mind of Mine or Mind of Me?
Isn't it Mind of Mine? Whatever Pillow Talk is on.
Pillow Talk. With Gigi Hadid in the music video.
Oh, my God, yeah. And then he had a song with Taylor Swift that everyone forgets about.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? That was, I just know because that's one. Zayn does have a number one, like Billboard number one, and it was that song with Taylor. Yeah.
The Taylor effect, y'all.
Yeah, the Taylorverse.
Yeah, she is powerful. Well, with Zayn, it's also a great way, because the thing I was going to talk about that elicits anger within me is I think every person that was a fan of One Direction had their top. They had their number one.
Oh, yeah. They're number one.
And what kind of person you liked said a lot about you.
Absolutely.
I was a Louis girl for one day.
Oh, just actually, that's so real, because there were days where you were swayed in a direction. And I don't know if it was just like our teenage hormones or like what they wore that day or or suddenly we saw them in a tank top and then we were like, ooh, like now I'm a Liam girl just for a day. Like,
yeah. With me, it was because the first time I had, like, seen or heard about One Direction, it was on, like, J14 Magazine's website or something. And I was like, why do they keep talking about these boys? And I said, let me look. So once I dived deep, no, I didn't even dive deep. I did a surface level look, spent maybe 2 or 3 hours. I said, you know what? I think I'm a Louis girl. Next day, I did more research.
The deeper dive.
I said, who am I kidding? I'm a Harry girl.
Yeah, I know you typed in One Direction funny moments. Those were the best. Watch those, the video diaries, the X Factor performances, and then you were like in the fandom. Those were like your required viewings for watching back then.
And it would take you at least a week because if you were any faster, it didn't hit you right.
Yeah, and you didn't learn all the references. Like if you didn't know what "No, Jimmy protested" meant, then you had to go back and rewatch the video diaries because you didn't catch it all.
Every single time, Kate, everything that you're saying, I thought I like remembered a good amount. No. Because you're opening a new chapter within my head.
No, this is all coming to me like too now. I thought I was like ready to talk about this, but there's so much more. This could be a podcast in itself, like just the lore of it all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are podcasts about Glee and stuff. We could have a different podcast episode about every day.
No, literally what it was like to be a One Direction fan. Every day it was you were like waking up to something new.
Yeah.
The rumors, the scandals, the girlfriends, the girlfriends. Right.
Well, before we get into the girlfriends, I need to hear what kind of girl were you?
Okay, so I was similar to you where when I first started, I was a Niall girl. Okay. But I was a Niall girl for like a full like year because I remember when I went to the 1D concert we both went to, I was a Niall girl and I brought a sign that said, like, "I wish you would kiss me" or something like that. Like, so embarrassing. And me and my friend both wore, like, head to toe, like, green. Because that was the era where you didn't look cute for a concert also. This was when you and your friends would make matching T-shirts and put them on with, like, Sharpie and like puff paint, and then you would all go wear them together, and you would wear like matching bandanas and like knee-high socks and stuff, and it was so, honestly, it was cute. It's kind of like the sad version of what girls do now for like Beyonce and the Eras tour, like how they prep their outfit so much far in advance. We were doing it, but in a weird way.
Where like it didn't match, it didn't look cute. Now it's like, oh, people are putting, like, money into their outfits. But the creativity has never left.
It was there, yeah. So I was all about Niall.
Okay.
And then I would say about a year into my obsession, I started liking, like, Neri. Like,
yes!
not like, shipping them, like, together, but,
no, but
just
the friendship.
Their friendship was my favorite. I love them so much. Like, they were so cute on stage together.
Yeah.
They were also just the two, like, they were the two youngest, too, I feel like. So they were just so cute and, like, always having fun. And then suddenly I was like, what is this feeling I'm having? Like, Harry is just so cute. And this is when he, like, kind of lost his, like, little, like, baby swoop and started, like, pushing his hair back and, like, growing it out a little bit. And that was just doing it for me.
Oh, when he grew out that hair?
Yeah.
Ooh, the panties just kept dropping inch by inch.
No, it was serious business. Like, and the bandanas, when he would wear, like a scarf in his hair. I still remember one of the shows I went to. It was, like, the Where We Are tour, Philadelphia date. He wore, like, this scarf in his hair. And I remember when he came out, I was, like, I put my whole fist in my mouth.
The frat boy era of One Direction.
It was filthy. Like, we were thirsty.
Oh, my gosh. If Harry pulled up in a bandana and had on, like, a Heat jersey or something.
Yeah.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he is madly in love with Taylor Russell. But if he were to do that to me, oh!
No,
I'd say, baby boy, you.
It'd be over.
You got
it'd be over.
To
on the spot.
Yeah, I'd say what you want
right
to do.
Right here.
Hey, let me know. I can do whatever you need.
I'm dead.
Okay, so with all the different guys, let's say if you were a Zayn girl, you were like mysterious.
Yeah, you were mysterious, maybe a little quiet.
Yeah.
A little cool.
Artsy, chill, wouldn't say too much, but that was how you were if you were a Zayn girl. If you were a Liam girl, you were like, what, a puppy?
Yeah, I was going to say you were like sweet and like lively and like, remember he was Daddy Direction?
Oh my gosh,
so I feel like he kind of gave like eldest sibling energy in a way.
The
like,
most responsible.
Yeah, most responsible. And like, he was serving cute looks back then. Like, Liam wasn't like hot back then. He was like cute. So if you liked Liam, you were kind of like a wholesome girl.
Yeah. And you're like, now you would be like the mom of the group when you're all going out.
Exactly.
Trying to make sure people are like drinking water, getting home safe.
Literally, exactly. I bet if you like see some girl out at the bar, like organizing the Uber, you can just ask her, like, were you a Liam girl? And she'll be like, absolutely. I went through.
If you were a Louis girl, you were a little wild.
Yeah, I would say, like, because Louis was, like, kind of, like, a controversial figure. Remember? There were, like, people that loved him and the people that were, like, he sucks, he can't sing. I loved him. I still do love him. I think he was so fun and so sweet.
I love him. And also, Louis girls today, they
still exist.
The dedicated.
Yeah.
Out of everyone.
They still exist. Maybe besides Harry's. But
They scare me. Louis girls today don't scare me. I just know that they love that man. Harry's scare me to the point where I didn't do floor when he was doing his residency at MSG.
Yeah.
Because I was scared if I said one word wrong, I was going to get hit.
Oh, my gosh. I remember I did say, like, something wrong. Like, you know how sometimes in they're singing along and, like, it'll be, like, a repeating part and you'll go say it again, but he'll stop. And I remember I said that so loud. And, like, everyone – I also went to this concert alone. Well, I didn't go alone. I went with my friends, but I was sitting alone because I had bought my ticket last minute.
Yeah.
So we got there together, and then I went to my own seat by myself and was, like, sitting next to these, like, 18-year-old girls. And this is how I know I was young, because they turned to me and they said, do you know who 5 Seconds of Summer is? And I was like, do you know who 5 Seconds of Summer is?
Did they?
They did, yeah. Okay. But they, I was like, how do you, you're asking me like they're a new band or like they're in like, I was like girl, if you only knew what
you,
I know.
Do you not realize that Niall quote unquote found them?
No, literally. He was like the other member of 5 Seconds of Summer. He was obsessed with them.
So yeah.
So Niall was so cute. He was like the best. Whenever things like seemed stressful in the fandom and I'm like, these boys are being worked, Niall was always in the corner like doing a jig.
That's why if you're a Niall girl, you are the most optimistic.
Yeah.
And you're the one that can always bring the group together in a way.
Definitely. Like, kind of like the glue.
Yeah.
Niall was the glue of One Direction. So if you're a Niall girl, you're the glue of your friendship.
And if you're a Harry girl.
Hottie. All the hot girls were Harry girls.
All the hot girls now are Harry girls.
That's true. That's because it's basically the only option.
Well, I wasn't Miss Popular at all. And I was not a hottie. Back then.
Like, actually, that's so true. I was not. I was super nerdy. Like
that's why I'm trying to figure out if you were a Harry girl, you were like...
Maybe there were two levels of Harry girls. Because there were like the Harry girls that were like meeting him all the time and were like super cool and like popular and had like tons of Instagram followers. And there were the Harry girls that were like, I just want to like brush his hair.
And like dorky.
Yeah, they were a little dorky. That's actually a good point. Yeah.
Those are the Harry girls. Because I remember, because I was like, I don't know. Did I ever tell you that I met them?
No. Wait, did you meet them in Walmart?
I met them in Walmart, baby.
I told my mom that she would regret not letting me go. And I still to this day, like, bring it up all the time. I'm like, that was my one chance. And at the time, it didn't seem like my one chance. My mom was like, I'm not driving to, it was in like Somerville?
Summerdale.
Yeah, Summerdale. Yeah. It was far from me. Maybe that's near you.
It was like 20 minutes.
That was like kind of like 45 minutes an hour. And my parents were like, we're not driving you to Walmart to go meet a bunch of random boys. And to this day, my mom even like apologizes. She was like, I had no idea. Like, I thought it was a phase. Like, I was like, we're not doing this.
And it's
like,
not a phase,
no.
Mom.
She still asks me, like, she's like, how's Harry doing? Like, is he up
like
to anything?
Friends.
Yeah, right. And she loves him too. She's like, she'll send me videos she sees on Facebook of Harry and she'll be like, oh, he grew up so well. He's so cute.
That's the One Direction effect, because, you know, it wasn't just like if a family member liked One Direction, you also had to like One Direction.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I found One Direction on my brother's playlist before because I would just play it all the time. And for that signing, me and like a group of four other girls or five other girls, we, right after school, we were still in middle school at the time, we drove straight to the Walmart and we waited in line. We were like the second group there and our parents did shifts. So each parent would come and sit with us for like 5 hours. At one point, it was raining, and we were the only ones without a tarp. So one of the parents ran inside to buy us a tarp, and we're hiding.
Oh, that's good parents.
We're literally sleeping on our, like, lawn chairs.
Oh, my God. You had to wait that long outside of a Walmart?
Yeah. And then the next morning at 7 a.m. was when they would let people walk in because you had to buy the CD.
Oh, yeah.
And then that buying the CD, it would give you, like, the little ticket to be like, okay, you can come back and you're going to meet them on like this day or whatever.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay.
And it was so like, I remember I was freaking out. I like was so nervous. I didn't even give them like the posters that I had or whatever. And I, to this day, the photos that I took were so blurry.
I was about to say, I was like, where are the photos?
My like old 2009, like Canon Coolpix Digicam.
Yep.
And they're so blurry.
Blurry.
The only thing I remember is I had looked up and I had an ugly ass I Love Harry Styles orange t-shirt, and I was not looking cute during that time.
The merch we had was insane.
It was so bad.
It was treacherous.
Harry, he was signing. He looked up at me and smiled and goes, hi. And
Oh my gosh.
I thought that he was going to pick me up and make out with me right then and there.
Yeah, you thought he was going to slide it back to you with his number on it, right? Yeah. That's how it was going to go.
That's the fanfic way. I thought it was going to be YN.
I was about to say, we were all YN in line, waiting.
In our Jalulu minds. Honestly, I'm still YN. What am I talking about?
I mean, hey, that's how, like, girls, you know, that's how they get... that's how groupies exist, is because they try. And like, sometimes they succeed.
They do.
And dare I say, a lot of the women that these guys that we grew up idolizing, they're dating women now that are our age. So we were thinking this whole time that we didn't have a chance at all, blah, blah, blah. No.
That's the scariest part, though.
Yeah. That's the sad part.
Suddenly we're playing That Should Be Me by Justin Bieber.
No, literally, play Alexa, play.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, we could literally also, Kate, I don't even know if you, well, I know you don't realize this, but guys, I didn't even tell you that Kate is wearing a One Direction t-shirt right now.
I am, yes.
For those who aren't watching, I have the exact same shirt that she's wearing, but I could not find it. So
I've never misplaced mine. It's one of my prized possessions.
I lost it for like a good 2-3 years.
It's in good shape, too.
Well, this is also the shirt that Harry took a picture in for a workout like a year ago.
Yes, this was the photo that everyone like freaked out about.
As soon as I saw that photo, I texted my mom. I said, you need to find that shirt.
Yeah, because then everyone went to look for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were actually selling this shirt at PacSun like a few years ago. And
really?
It was literally called Vintage One Direction Shirt. Isn't that insane?
That's so insane, especially because that shirt in particular, I'm going to describe it to you guys. It's
pretty ugly.
All of the guys, six squares, a picture of each guy with like a weird or like fun expression. And then one of the squares just says 1D on it. And then the only thing left on the shirt is Up All Night Tour 2012. That's it. When I got that shirt, after I bought it, I immediately regretted my decision. I was so mad. I was like, oh my gosh, I should have gotten the other one.
I was mad because there's no tour dates on this one.
That was another reason why I wasn't
I remember being disappointed. But yeah. I'm so thankful that at the time they only had XLs at the stand. And I was pissed because I was so little when I was like a teenager. Mm-hmm. I was so skinny and little. And it was like a dress on me. And I was like, damn, I guess this is the only thing I have. Because we went after the concert. No merch was left. They were like, this is all we got. But now, being 25 and 11/12, and I have this XL shirt, it's so comfy and, like, it's like the best thing ever. I'm like, shout out to me.
It's a sleeping shirt. It's a shirt you can walk out in. Like, also, if you walk out in that shirt, just know that the people who are walking by you respect you.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I actually, my friend had a party, and it was, like, supposed to be, like, fangirl themed, and I did wear this one time belted with thigh-high boots, and it was kind of a moment.
That's serving.
It was fun.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Kate,
yes.
I honestly don't want to stop talking.
No, we're gabbing.
But but we are nearing the end of the episode, which means that we just need to have you come back on to continue talking about how the ways in which these now men have defined our lives. But if there was one thing that you had to say that you've learned from One Direction... to your 20s, what would it be? And I know it's going to be a little difficult because...
You know what? I have the perfect answer. Ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Live while you're young. That's what I have to learn. Because also looking back, you remember how young they were? They were so young. At their peak, they were like 19, 20, 21, 22.
Yeah.
And so we were kind of just watching them like live. Do you remember the One Way or Another music video? It was just them like all over the world, like having fun and like goofing off and being like, that's inspiring. We should take that energy. And just be young and fun.
Should we make a One Way or Another music video for 2024?
Oh my God, we can get all the girls on the team in it. They'll love it.
Yeah.
We'll skip the part where they go to Africa.
Yeah. I love me the motherland, but that's a little too far and a little too expensive. So we got to keep it a little close to home.
It'll just be around the building. Yeah. Maybe in Times Square.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
That we could do.
We can get the red noses.
One red nose day, guys.
So cute. We should actually remake the Live While You're Young music video because then we can do the dance at the end.
Yep. And we have to get the tents and stuff, too.
See, that would be more fun. A little dance.
Camping.
Then they all would do it on stage at the same time. Like, and there was the dance in Best Song Ever, too, that at the end.
I tried to test myself. It came up on my For You page on TikTok recently. And I was like, oh, I know this dance perfectly. I'm not going to lie. There were a couple steps that I had, like, messed up. But I still had the head wave.
Oh, no, right?
And And the so, yep. Guys, I'm telling you, this was a lifestyle. If you were not on the One Direction wave, I hope you had something else that you could love and cherish.
Yeah, the way that I hope you were like a believer or like a super nerd of something, because there was no better feeling than just loving something with like your whole being.
Even this conversation, I feel I could cry.
No, actually, it is like it is emotional. Like we were so young, and it was just like such a sweet, happy time. And like the way I know that it was real is because people are on TikTok nowadays wishing that they were teenagers in that era. There are like Gen Alpha or whatever, or Gen Zers
they're
obsessed with One Direction, and they started liking them like maybe a few years ago, and they'll post concert videos. And I even posted a video from my concert, and people were commenting like, I wish I could have experienced this. And I'm like, I wish you could have too, because there's no way that we're ever getting anything like that back.
Oh no, never again. It was so euphoric. Even the way that it bonds people, like what happened? Oh, Gemma, Harry's sister, had a baby.
Oh my God. And we all became aunties.
Yeah, we did. One of our coworkers put it in our team Slack, and we were all like, oh my God.
Our emergency.
Yeah. Literally what she said.
Yeah. And I know that like somewhere down the road, they have to. I don't think it's going to be a tour. I don't know if it's going to be an interview. They have to do some kind of like reunion thing, just because it would bring in way too much money. And I feel like their teams are going to be like, you have to do this at some point. And I just know that it's going to ignite. Every single fangirl is going to go like straight back to where they were, because it's like in our DNA. Like we pretend like we're cool now, but like the minute I see all five of them standing together, tears.
Tears, we're gonna revert. Like, y'all,
OT5.
Y'all are not ready. I'm honestly not ready. I keep saying I want them to get back together, but I think we could use a couple more years.
Yeah, before. I'm not ready. I'm not ready financially, also.
Oh, no. Honestly, I was talking to some guy on this dating app, and he was a smooth talker, blah, blah, blah. And I, for some reason, was like, oh, so does this mean that you're gonna pay for our tickets when One Direction goes on their reunion tour? He said, if I'm not doing that and more, then I might as well just say bye to you now.
Wow.
Okay. All right. I got to fan myself right now.
No, I was about to say, woo.
That took me out.
No, because that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
You think Renaissance and Eras Tour were expensive? You just wait until the 1D Tour 2030. It'll be a bloodbath.
Start putting your savings in now, guys, because you're going to need it.
I created a high-yield savings account specifically to save for when One Direction comes, so that I can be one of those girls that zooms all over the world and country to see them a bazillion times. Because do you remember being a kid and all you wanted to do was, like, go – they call it, like, stalk them. Like, go stalk the boys when they were, like, in your – when they were, like, in Philly and we knew what hotel they were at.
Yeah.
And, like, some people's moms would literally drive them to Philly to go look for them, but my mom was like – absolutely not.
Yeah, my parents were also like, you leave those boys alone.
Yeah, right? They're like, we're not doing that. They barely even took me to the concerts. They were like, what the hell's going on here? But now that I'm an adult, free range.
Oh, yeah.
To find them.
Well, it's kind of the way that sometimes when someone tells me like, oh, I'm flying to Italy to go see like Taylor Swift in concert, or I'm going to Mexico for it, I kind of look at them sideways, thinking to myself, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah.
But I know for a fact that if it happens with One Direction, I'm buying those tickets.
Yeah. And then we're going on vacation.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. Ooh. I'm hoping that One Direction ends up having the Jonas Brothers effect.
Yeah.
You know how, like, now the Jonas Brothers, we kind of are like...
That would be iconic.
Because now the Jonas Brothers won't stop touring.
Could you imagine a 5-album, 1-night tour by One Direction?
Would lose. They would have to do it in different countries, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, they'd have to do it in L.A. They'd have to do it in New York. They'd have to
I don't care where it is I'm going. I don't care if it's on... I don't care if it's in Antarctica. I'm going. I want to sing all the way from the first song to the last song.
And plus a couple, like, outliers here and there that really get their time. Like, what's the one?
Like, Nah Nah Nah.
Yes. What's the superhero one? It's not called Superhero.
Oh, Save You Tonight.
Yes.
Yes. That was a good one. That was a good one. My favorite song ever, when I first started liking them, they only had one album, was Stole My Heart. Do you remember that song?
Stole My Heart?
Yeah.
Out of all of them, that was your favorite.
Okay. It's a banger. It's a banger.
I'm a more than this girly, but that's
okay. Well, that's sad. That's okay. Yeah. It was just like my favorite banger or whatever. Okay. And I remember I went to the concert and they only had one album. So I thought they were going to sing the whole thing.
No.
They didn't sing that song and they didn't sing Taken. And I remember, and I was like fine with Taken. I was like, who needs Taken? But when they didn't sing Stole My Heart, I was so sad. And then it went on the list of songs that they never, ever, ever sung.
Really?
Yeah. There's a list of like, I think it's like 8 songs that they never sung live.
Someone tell Niall. He's going on tour. He'll do it.
Could you imagine? Like, because they do the renditions of, like, some of their songs. Like, have you seen the things on TikTok where they, like, drop their vocals and make it sound like if they sang a One Direction song, but with their vocals now?
Yeah.
It's too crazy.
No, I honestly think, I don't know who we have connections to for Niall, but if anyone is listening, y'all better tell him right now that we got to do Stole My Heart.
Yes, please. And more than this for Tina.
Yeah, so I can, no, I'm an ugly crier.
I was crying.
I had to be like sobbing.
You know the big Directioner cry song was Moments?
I can't even like think about it. I'm getting teary. I don't know if you guys heard, but I pushed myself away from the mic because I was getting so emotional over it. Okay, but now we actually have to end
okay,
this.
Okay, sorry, I'm snapping.
No, Kate, you're coming back. And we're going to talk more about how this, like, our loves and honestly, our obsessions of One Direction and other bands helped to cultivate, like, where we are in our careers now. Because, guys, we kind of talked about it briefly, but I hope this episode is a testament to you that please just love what you love.
Oh, absolutely. Never, ever, ever be ashamed of loving something and finding community in people that love the same thing you do, because we're just humans. And, like, not enjoying something just because you're, like, afraid of, like, what someone else is going to think is, like, the biggest missed opportunity.
Absolutely. Because the way we've been able to talk for almost an hour.
Yeah.
Just about this. And we could go on for...
We didn't even scratch the surface.
No. So let us know what questions you want for next time, and we'll be sure to let you know.
Yay.
But, Kate, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast.
But, so did I, girl. I'm like, we need to go to happy hour.
No, I was actually just thinking that. One drink.
What, if there's anything we didn't get to, and I know there was a lot, but if there was anything that you could say to the In Your 20s community, whether it's a piece of advice, words of wisdom, if there's a soapbox that you want to stand on, now is the time to do it.
Okay. I've never had a soapbox to stand on before. This is my favorite quote. I always tell people it's actually from Teen Wolf. Well, it's not from Teen Wolf. Winston Churchill said it, but they say it a lot in Teen Wolf, and they reference that Winston Churchill said it in Teen Wolf, and it kind of becomes a thing. It's just, if you're going through hell, keep going.
Ooh,
that's it.
I like that.
And I feel like that kind of describes being in your 20s. Like, you kind of know what's going on. You think it's hell, but then you look back and you're like, wait, I was making memories. That was all fun. So just keep going.
Yeah. Even when you think that it might be a little bleak. It's okay.
Same and even the days that you're too broke to go out and you and your friends have to, like, you know, sit on the floor and talk about One Direction or whatever and, like, make margarita mix or something, like, you'll look back and be like, oh, that was fun.
And I'm so happy that I experienced those things.
Yeah.
And did them.
And literally, if we let people dictate what we liked, then we wouldn't have had all those fun memories about being One Direction fans. Like, because it was weird to be a One Direction fan. People sometimes bullied you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I literally hid my Twitter account. And then when they found it, it was like
DEFCON 5. Yeah.
Yes. I felt like the girl in the Scarlet Letter.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I don't know what her name is, but I was her.
Olive Pendergast.
Yes.
Right? Same thing.
What is it from?
It's from Easy A. Which is based off the Scarlet Letter, so we're there.
Yeah, I felt like Olive at the time. But Kate, thank you again so much for coming on. And before you go, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at CoolGirlKate. Kate spelled C-A-I-T.
Awesome, guys. I'm going to make sure that I link where you can find Kate in the show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review, rate us, follow us on Instagram and TikTok. That's at In Your 20s, 20s with a Y-S, not an I-E-S. My name's Tina with an H, and I'll catch you in a couple Wednesdays. Bye.
Woo!